Hey, I'm Alok, the host of Build the Change, a brand new podcast from MacBlue about the people at the center of progress. Join us on a journey across the country as we uncover stories about the everyday folks working together to build something bigger than themselves, real change. You'll hear from students in Appalachia advocating for LGBTQ-friendly books in their communities, healthcare workers providing telehealth abortions across the country, immigrant farm workers fighting for their safety in the blazing sun, and candidates in states with razor-thin margins. Listen to Build the Change now, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome to Democracy-ish. I'm Danielle Moody.
I'm with Jonathan Lee.
And folks, we are recording a little bit earlier in the week this week. So while we're going to discuss the Trump indictment, at the time of this recording, we do not know the contents of said indictment at this time. But there is much to discuss with regard to the nonstop coverage. My dear Wash, you're trying to be on vacation with your family, but we had to pull you in because I had to shut off my TV.
Good.
I turn on MSNBC, CNN, and what I saw was Donald Trump's plane sitting on a tarmac. And then I had to check my phone and make sure it wasn't 2016, because this is the same coverage that they did then that got Donald Trump into the White House in the first place.
It's one of those situations where I believe you and I have said that repeatedly on this show, that it is in the interest of corporate institutions for Donald Trump to succeed. And if history is a guide, Danielle, the road towards fascism has always been paved by the elite, by the 1%, by the wealthy, by all corporate institutions, because while fascism is happening, they don't want to interrupt business. You know, that famous quote of Michael Jordan, or it's alleged to Michael Jordan, hey, Republicans buy sneakers as well. And we still are in the aftermath of the Nashville shooting, where six people died. And a small little tidbit that just kind of fell through the cracks was that corporations are still unwilling to openly talk about gun control because they're afraid of losing Republican voters. However, they're in a bind right now, Danielle, because guess what? People are freaking dying every day, including our kids. And enough people, especially if you've been paying attention in Nashville, those parents are pissed. But corporations, instead of doing the right thing, are still looking after their bottom line. So why am I mentioning this? Mm-hmm. We have seen for the past 7 years that Donald Trump is not a normal president. We've seen him be twice impeached. He's lost the popular vote twice. He incited a violent insurrection. He recently said that he's fine terminating the Constitution. This is the top of my head, by the way. He dined with a white nationalist, and he is going to be the first president, former president, who is indicted and faces criminal charges. And by the way, Danielle, the number one enemy of Donald Trump has been the quote-unquote media. He has called them the enemy of the people, which is a Stalinist term, speaking about fascism. His base hates people like you and me, hates journalists, threatens them. CNN literally had to evacuate the building during the Trump administration.
Remind them.
And there was a Caesar Sayoc, a guy who was in prison because he had a hit list. The hit list was all the enemies of Trump. He sent functional pipe bombs to CNN. This is top of the dome. So you think about all this and you say, if there is a base of people out there who hate us, who call us pedophiles, who call us groomers, who literally are inciting violence against us, who are inspiring stochastic terrorism. No matter what we do, no matter how much we bend the knee, no matter how much affirmative action we have, and we hire a Mick Mulvaney or a John Kasich or a friggin' Allison Farah, who's in The View, maybe, just maybe, we shouldn't placate them. Maybe we should be on the right side of history. Maybe we should, you know, be for the majority. Maybe we should talk about the truth. And with all of this, CBS News, the vaunted jewel of CBS News, 60 Minutes, on Sunday, Danielle, decided to give a fawning sit-down exclusive interview to who?
To Marjorie Taylor fucking Greene. And I got to tell you, folks, that when, because my parents, like, this is kind of like a family thing. Whenever I'm home on Long Island, I always end up watching 60 Minutes with my parents because that is like their Sunday night ritual. My mother texts me and was just like, I had to turn off CBS, had to turn off 60 Minutes. I said, you know, why? And she's like, she's like, Danielle, for the life of me, I could not believe that 60 Minutes of all places would sit down with Marjorie Taylor Greene, of all the members that you could sit down with. And so I just want folks to know that according to Showbiz 411, which does the ratings, you know, they did that, does the ratings for television shows, 60 Minutes with Marjorie Taylor Greene was down 33% in viewership from the Sunday prior. And if that is not, because again, we all know, like you said, this is a business, right? Journalism isn't about the fourth estate. It isn't about telling the truth. It isn't about, you know, connecting the dots for the American people. And it isn't about alerting them to facts. No, it is a business so that they can pay their CEO and their shareholders. And so it is this very incestuous revolving door that we have seen with all the names that you bring up. So let this be a message to 60 Minutes, to CBS, and to the other networks, that when you bring on known white nationalists, anti-Semites, racists, and transphobes, people are going to turn the channel.
But guess what? Leslie Stahl called her, quote, smart and fearless, and she ended the segment by pondering the question of whether or not this freak extremist Marjorie Taylor Greene would, quote, expand her brash MTG brand beyond the right-wing populist base. Smart, fearless, in your face, brash. And MTG literally sat there and called the Democrats groomers and pedophiles. And you know what Leslie Stahl said? Wow.
She said, wow. Wow. Like you would say, like a preschool teacher would say to a child who hit another kid on the head, oh, wow, can't you be nicer?
No, but the preschool kid retaliated, just like, let me throw in some sports analogies. Just yesterday, if you guys all saw the women's championship.
Oh,
right?
We will talk about that too.
Right. Like, it's perfectly fine for Caitlin Clark to sit there and do that, which is, it's sports. It's fine. She does it. Oh, she's a tough competitor. The LSU athlete whose name I'm forgetting, African-American woman.
Angel Reese,
right? Who's the champion, by the way, because LSU beat Iowa. Does the same thing in response. How dare she? Unsportsmanlike conduct. So it's
classless,
all about
ghetto.
Classless.
Mean, if you want to talk about the stereotypes and it, and Keith Olbermann, let me just say, Keith Olbermann, along with David Axelrod, right? So, you know, the good white liberals, the good white allies that Martin Luther King warned us about, got on Twitter to call Angel Reese out, who, by the way, let me just tell you, folks, I don't follow sports like this at all, but I follow culture. And when my timeline becomes filled with all of this, like, both-sidedness, and I saw in the gesture that Waj is talking about, which you all have all seen now, the John Cena, you can't see me gesture, that both women did, but
and
when
Caitlin
one
did
does
it, first.
It,
Caitlin did it
and
first.
Caitlin did it first, and when one white woman does it, she was like, oh, she's got swag. She's you know, she's a competitor, blah, 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 blah. Literally. See, yeah, according to folks, ESPN had done a whole fucking segment about how much swag she has, and like she's the future of women's basketball. This was for the white woman. Angel Reese does it, a black woman who they have apparently been trash talking all year.
Well, I didn't know that.
Right? And does the same exact thing. And the hate and racism. And I said, Keith Olbermann, David Axelrod, let me tell you something. You are the white liberal that has always stood in the place of progress, because you want to look at this and be like, oh yeah, she's classless. What an effing idiot. And our producer Q just texted and said, Angel Reese, most outstanding player of the tournament, broke the D1 record for double doubles. Oh, like, wow. So she's not to be fucked with. Right. And I just want to say that also, the issue here isn't just about racism and how people showed their ass and how white liberals will continue to show their ass and white people in general. But the fact is that women in sports have never been able to show out in the same way that men are.
Yeah.
Basketball players talk shit, right? Like athletes, good athletes talk shit.
Bad athletes talk shit.
Bad athletes talk shit. And so for this young black woman to be the boss that she is, and I was proud of the response that she gave in her interview and said, I don't really care. Yeah. Like, y'all want to call me everything. I'm not here for you. I'm representing the girls that look like me, and, right? And, that talk like me. From the New Yorker staff writer Vincent Cunningham, a keenly observed novel of a young black man searching for his place in the world amidst a moment of historic change. Great Expectations is about David's 18 months working for the senator's presidential campaign. Along the way, David meets a myriad of people who raise a set of questions. Questions of history, art, race, religion, and fatherhood that force David to look at his own life anew and come to terms with his identity as a young black man and father in America. Inspired by the author's experiences working on Obama's 2008 presidential campaign, Cunningham uses a political campaign as his narrative backbone. Great Expectations will be one of the talked-about novels of the year, Colm McCann. Great Expectations is available wherever books are sold.
Hey, I'm Alok, the host of Build the Change, a brand new podcast from MacBlue about the people at the center of progress. Join us on a journey across the country as we uncover stories about the everyday folks working together to build something bigger than themselves. Real change. You'll hear from students in Appalachia advocating for LGBTQ-friendly books in their communities, healthcare workers providing telehealth abortions across the country, immigrant farm workers fighting for their safety in the blazing sun, and candidates in states with razor-thin margins. Listen to Build the Change now wherever you get your podcasts.
And for those who don't follow basketball, again, It's the fantastic NCAA Women's Championship. The fact that people are even watching is a huge progress, right? It's the most competitive game. Caitlin Clark's awesome. She talks massive smack. Everyone does. Even Steph Curry does. And she did the move to Angel Reese first. And then after Angel Reese, it was like the final minute. Like, you could tell LSU was winning. She says, hey, boom, John Cena in your face. And then she points to her ringer, which is what happens when she's about to win a chip. And that was it. And the reason I'm bringing this up is you see the double standard. Who gets to be angry? Who gets to talk back? Who gets to be loud, right? And it's who gets rewarded for alleged bad behavior? Whose bad behavior, and this was not bad behavior, this was just some regular smack talking. Who can speak from the hip? Who can be politically incorrect? Mm-hmm. Who can be mad as hell and not going to take it anymore? Mm-hmm. You see where I'm going with this? Donald Trump.
Yep. Come on. White come dudes. On.
Tucker Carlson. Yep. Danielle, and I'm saying this as an observer and also a co-host and friend. You know, we've been on many panels. Danielle is always articulate, very informed. Her passion comes not from insanity or irrationality. It's because she's aware of the injustices that are happening, and she vocalizes it. So Danielle, as a black woman, gets called oftentimes in the comment section, this angry black woman. Mm-hmm. But Tucker Carlson gets a multi-million dollar show platform rage and fake victimhood, even though he's a son of friggin' frozen food empire, grew up lily white, went to like, he has the softest hands on earth, went to like, you know, literally the most privileged institutions, lives in one of the most expensive neighborhoods in DC. But this guy who's literally had no hardship is allowed, like Donald Trump, to be filled with rage. And instead of calling these people angry and reactionary and wild and hooligans and beasts, they're seen as keeping it real. Economic anxiety, you know, just smart and fearless. In your face, bold opinions like Marjorie Taylor Greene. Now imagine, Danielle, and this inshallah will never happen because we're sober, sane, rational adults. If you and I echoed the exact content of an MTG, accusing Hillary Clinton of molesting children, accusing Jewish space lasers of causing wildfires, of going to a friggin' white nationalist, so that and an anti-Semite. Like, let's just say we went to a Louis Farrakhan meeting and he would say the most anti-Semitic stuff possible. We're like, hey, he speaks to a base, you know, and we're not going to apologize. Suppose you and I said, if black and brown people were to do the January 6th insurrection, if you and I were leading it and we were armed, we would win, which is what Marjorie Taylor Greene said just a few months ago at the New York Young Republicans Gala. And what would happen to us? What would happen to us?
I'm pretty sure we would probably know what the inside of Guantanamo looks like. I'm pretty sure that some federal charges would have been brought against us that aside from, you know, most likely you being labeled a terrorist.
Thank you. And then me.
You're welcome. And then me being labeled some, you know, crazy wide-eyed black Antifa woman. You know, that's what would happen. It's just like, so you, you know, you see folks as we're talking about the women's college basketball tournament, and you see how you can weave the connections between January 6th and the treatment of those. Oh, they were just tourists.
That's right.
Right. That's what the Republican Party said. They were just armed and angry tourists between, oh, they're not racist. It's just economic anxiety. Right. And you see this play out everywhere, from sports to politics to music to everywhere. There isn't anything that Black, Indigenous people of color, BIPOC people can do in this country other than be of service to white people, right? Mind our business, keep our head down. Yes and no, ma'am. It doesn't even matter if you do that.
You still get shot.
Because you can still get shot, right? You can still get labeled as a hooligan, right? And so it is amazing to me that like the white folks right now that are being called out for their reaction to this the split screen pictures, the split screen videos are just so wild because there's nothing to stand on. There's nothing that they can say that be like, oh, well, you know, when she did it. No. It's 2 days apart.
Yeah,
two days apart.
Tit for tat.
Literally tit for tat. But the reaction, one, didn't receive one. And if it did, it was praise. And then the other receives everything from classless to effing idiot to unsportsmanlike, all of these things. Really? Well, you're the same people that jump up and down? That jumped up and down, jump up and down for LeBron James? You're the same people that jumped up and down for Jordan and the late Kobe Bryant? Really?
Well, no. What did they tell LeBron? Laura Ingraham said, shut up and dribble. Yet Tim Tebow gets to be a martyr and like kneel and pray.
Yes.
And then like any other athlete who's white can say whatever they want to say and be an anti-vaxxer, anti-science, or, you know, hard right, you know, religious right member who's against abortion. And then they become a hero and they're oppressed. But LeBron James, a man who indisputably, arguably the greatest athlete that we've seen in our generation, one of the greatest athletes, I would say, there's Serena. But LeBron James, like, top five, top three. And a man who has been perfect from high school to now, because the eyes have been on him since high school.
Yep.
And a man who's given back his wealth because his country is so obscene that it punishes its children. So he's like, F it, I'll just use $50 million of my own money to educate children, right? And never caught in any scandal, never gone to any jail.
Yep.
Made the decision to just, you know, use this platform to speak up. And Laura Ingraham said, why don't you just shut up and dribble? So that's sports. All right. Now you look at TV. Look at Tucker Carlson, who literally is gaslighting America. You released 4 minutes of footage to make the violent insurrection seem like it was peaceful, ignored all the thousands of other hours. And he, on his Daily Show, which is the highest rated show on Fox and on cable news, literally parrots white nationalists talking. Tiffany Cross.
Yes.
Bold and outspoken. Mentions, like, you know, she says something I wouldn't have said, but whatever. Says, like, submit a comment about Florida, which I'm forgetting.
It should, that Florida should be castrated from the United States.
Yeah, harmless.
It was something to that point, and I was like, I love it.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if you're a host of a TV show, probably don't. But compared to what everyone else is saying, is it that bad? Not really. Brings the receipts, pisses off Tucker Carlson. What happens at MSNBC, folks? MSNBC?
Fired.
By Tiffany Cross, Megyn Kelly. Okay, Megyn Kelly, who's obsessed with white Santa Claus. All right, if you don't believe me, just Google that. Super racist. It's like the Alpha Karen. Megyn Kelly is the Alpha Karen, who was the voice and face of Fox. But this decides, you know what? I think Trump is a step too far. Gets rewarded by MSNBC with, at that time, and I think still to this day, the biggest contract ever, Danielle. $69 million. Now, people forget this. I'm going to connect the dots for you. Who gets removed from MSNBC to make space for the most racist Karen on earth who gets paid $69 million?
Tamron Hall and Al Roker, right, who had the fourth hour on the Today Show.
With better
were
ratings.
Were removed with better ratings, liked more, were removed to make room for Megyn Kelly, whose show, I believe, did not last a year.
What?
But guess who walked with the $69 million in her contract?
Megyn Kelly and Tamron Hall bounced back. Al Roker is a beloved figure. That, you know, Tiffany, poor Tiffany, is just trying to make her comeback, and she got smeared with some smear campaign that most likely came out of MSNBC. And then who gets rewarded for being wrong about everything? We talked about this recently. John Kasich.
Kasich!
Not Elie Mystal, who's there friggin' every day being brilliant. Not Kurt Bardella. Not you. Who do they find money for? John Kasich. So bring it all full circle. And this is, I'm glad we did, because oftentimes people think, oh, me and Danielle sit there and we script it out. We don't. We just...
No.
It's all connected. And when people say, oh, you darkies are always whining and complaining about racism and white supremacy, we live in a post-Obama universe. Nothing's racist. It's all about race. It's always been about racism.
Everything.
You see the double standards. You see the Marjorie Taylor Greene interview 2 days before Donald Trump, the white nationalist president, who has crimed openly he's crimed.
Where for Michael, 5 decades.
Yeah, Michael, like Daniel said, we'll find out what's in the sealed indictment, but most likely, I believe it has something to do with the hush money payments that he arranged through Michael Cohen, who is his fixer, to pay off Stormy Daniels right before the election.
Yeah.
And he used, of course, commingled funds because he's corrupt as F. Michael Cohen, the guy who did it for Individual One, and Michael Cohen said Individual One is Donald Trump. Michael Cohen got indicted. He got convicted. He got sentenced. Yep. Donald Trump, nothing.
Hey, I'm Alok, the host of Build the Change, a brand new podcast from MacBlue about the people at the center of progress. Join us on a journey across the country as we uncover stories about the everyday folks working together to build something bigger than themselves. Real change. You'll hear from students in Appalachia advocating for LGBTQ-friendly books in their communities, healthcare workers providing telehealth abortions across the country, immigrant farm workers fighting for their safety in the blazing sun, and candidates in states with razor-thin margins. Listen to Build the Change now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Guess who didn't pardon him? Guess who didn't erase his record? Guess who didn't come to his aid, to Michael Cohen's aid? Donald Trump, right?
That's right.
And I just want also, you know, for folks to just pick up on this too. We just learned over the weekend through an interview that Cy Vance did, right? The former Manhattan District Attorney,
who also had
the goods on Donald Trump. And was asked by Chuck Todd, well, if you had all the same, you know, information that Alvin Bragg has, why didn't you bring the case? And what did we find out from Cy Vance? Cy Vance said, oh, because the Department of Justice under Bill Barr told him to stand down.
That's right. That's right.
Told him to stand down.
And he said, yes, massa, sure. No problem.
Yep.
Because your kids and I, our kids probably go to the same institutions, and you're white and I'm white, and I don't want to get the heat. And so Alvin Bragg, a black man, Fannie Willis, a black woman, followed the facts.
And Tish James, another black woman.
That's right. And it was a grand jury of his peers, folks, and he still hasn't been convicted. And because it's Donald Trump and because it's Republicans and because the people who finally flexed and followed the law are black folks, these people now have death threats. And now they're saying it's biased. Look at these Soros-backed anti-Semitic comment, black criminals, racist comment to attack Alvin Bragg. Same thing they're saying against Fannie Willis, same thing they're saying against Letitia James. Right? But at the same time, to step back, all the white boys and girls protected their own. And we saw what happened with the Central Park Five, or now the Exonerated Five, is that when it's young black folks accused of a crime, kill them, death penalty. Who's the one who sang that bell? Donald Trump. But with Trump, any accountability. And then you're seeing folks like Eli Lake and Matt Taibbi and others being like, oh my God, what will happen if we hold them accountable? Won't MAGA get upset? And in the future, what will happen when Republicans get in power? Do you expect Republicans to be civil? I'm like, when the F were Republicans ever civil?
Come on.
I mean, you know, Ken Starr openly said, no one's above the law. He spent millions going after Bill Clinton. Kevin McCarthy openly admitted in 2015 that the only reason they did Benghazi and Emailgate was to harm Hillary Clinton. And it worked. And so this is why I call, and I said this before, it's terrorism actually works in America, Danielle, especially white terrorism. It works. And prove me that I'm wrong. Insurrection works. Threatening media works. They give you fawning interviews. Threatening media works. You get affirmative action for conservatives. There's this pool of money that somehow just exists forever for John Kasich and Mick Mulvaney. Law enforcement, the number one domestic terror threat in America is white supremacist terror. They do nothing. Bad behavior and terrorism, if you're white, works. Prove it. Prove me wrong.
Maybe I could.
Maybe I'm too cynical.
No, I wish that I could, because you have connected those dots before. And I just want to also, you know, lift up that is not being covered in the mainstream media. And hopefully, by the end of the week, it will be. As of this recording, folks, there was a massive, massive protest by young people in Tennessee walking out. Right. That was organized by March for Our Lives against the Tennessee state legislature that doesn't give a fuck about kids, right? Yep. Not being covered by mainstream news. Do you know what else the Tennessee legislature is doing right now?
What are
they are holding a vote to kick out three Democrats. They've already shut off their badges. They are voting to expel them from the state House of Representatives. Ask me why, Watch.
What?
Because they decided to march with protesters against children being murdered in their classrooms. And so the Republican Party in Tennessee is deciding that standing with your constituents against young children being murdered in their classrooms by AR-15s, they're not going to stand for that. So they're going to expel these three members who each I believe, represent roughly 80,000 constituents. Yeah. And they're going to they're voting to expel them. They've already been removed from their committee assignments for doing what? Advocating gun reform, not even a week after three children are murdered in their classrooms.
And this is why, Danielle, like, you know, and again, we are recording this a day before Donald Trump was expected to turn himself in. He's not going to spend a night in jail, but, you know, he's going to get arraigned. And he's going to be indicted. This is why accountability is so important. Because in the absence of any accountability, what we are dealing with, and I think just top of the dome for the past 25 minutes, you and I have come up with numerous examples, is we're dealing across the board with the death rattle of white supremacy. We're dealing with white rage that is willing to burn down this entire country to stay in power. We're dealing with terrorism, threats and belligerence and violence. And without any accountability, we're going to see a GOP, like we said before on our show, that is increasingly going to become a more weaponized and radicalized authoritarian force that does not care about democracy. And next week when we return, hopefully we have some good news from Wisconsin, Dan. But if you don't believe us after everything we've said, look at what's happening in Wisconsin. I mean, that's going to be for next week's show where we'll touch upon it. But Wisconsin right now, that state's Supreme Court, if Democrats actually win, we might, after 12 years, finally see some hope for democracy, some hope for a representative government, and some hope for women's rights. That's what's happening, folks, in Wisconsin.
Yeah, you are right. And I said it back in 2016 on Canadian television that Donald Trump's election is white supremacy's last stand. I did not say how long that stand was going to be, because I think it was you, Watch, that made the joke that, you know, after 9 months of the 100-year war, somebody said, I hope this is going to be over soon. And it was a 100-year war. Yeah. So the reality here, folks, is that all of this is connected, right? You come here each week because Waj and I are not afraid to connect the dots and to tell the truth about what is happening here. But for those people who say everything isn't about race, everything in this country is about race. It is about racism, right? And advocating and centering whiteness at the cost of everybody else. And we'll continue to elevate that and air that out until it's done.
Well, until it's done. You and I should be wrong about everything. And if we're wrong about everything and we become conservative, you and I can get really, really lucrative contracts on television.
Yeah. That would be the biggest grift. That would be the biggest grift of all time.
Unfortunately for us, we have a great batting average. Our bad.
Yeah.
We're bad, folks.
Our bad for being right. Thank you for listening to Democracy-ish. I'm Danielle Moody.
I'm with Jonathan Lee.
And we will be back next week, friends, if in fact there is a country left. Inshallah.